present. The sweet peals of moonlight induce lovemaking on the streets tonight. Listen, the soft purr of motorbikes ready to strike up the nightlife. So don't tell me of your troubles, your emotional grief. Taking the sights, this is shore leave. Don't talk of true love, unscrew your frown. Enjoy the entertainments of nighttime town. Experience the red rooms, the green tables, the souvenirs, make memories haunting or fabled. The gallant mist of red-blooded chivalry.
You are bathed in radio waves, TV broadcasts, probably telepathic messages, from other minds deep in thought.
Listening to the radio at the same time.
And this radio simply makes audible something that you thought was inaudible.
Hi, this is Rodney Greenblatt from Catskill, and you're listening to WGXC ACRA 90.7 FM.
Ultram, Savick, and Matt Hunter and the Dusty Fates perform Saturday, January 21st at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Ultram is a spaz jazz improvising noise rock band that includes current and past members of Mercury Rev, Trans Am, Snowflake, Sparkle Horse, and Robin Hitchcock's band. Savick was formed in 2015 by members of Obits, Holy F and the Cops, and play psychedelic pub rock, while Matt Hunter and the Dusty Fates play folkish rock. Tune in or turn out to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill at 8 p.m. Saturday, January 21st. WGXC will also have a live web stream and a live broadcast on 90.7 FM. For Ultram, Savick, and Matt Hunter and the Dusty Fates, Saturday, January 21st at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar at wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Spike's Record Rack in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
I am Andy Reid.
And I'm Mike Porter.
Come listen to Catskill Cabin Getaway on WGXC ACRA 90.7 FM.
That's the third Thursday each month.
Or you can listen to our podcasts. Just go to WGXC/something.
It's Catskill Cabin Getaway, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know.
Let's check it out.
A new year for Forgotten Geek on WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA Catskill Hudson begins. Corey McCaslin here to bring you music by Yazoo, Switchblade Symphony, Hadaway, and more. Now for a deluge of geek speak. One British broadcaster is out of the privatization woods for now. In a huge reverse from the Tories' prior plan to privatize Channel 4, aka one of the few good parts of Thatcher's legacy, new Culture Secretary Michelle Donnellan recommended it be kept in public hands and not sold off, Prime Minister for now, Rishi Sunak, rubber stamping. Months ago, a litany of authors, including Cory Doctorow, Naomi Klein, and Neil Gaiman, sent an open letter organized by public interest group Fight for the Future, protesting a lawsuit by publishers and trade associations against the Internet Archive as the latest in efforts to prevent libraries from lending e-books. The 2020 lawsuit argues archive.org's open library violates copyrights and undercuts the e-book market. Archive responded the practice is akin to a traditional library and expressed concern the industry desires, quote, to force libraries and their patrons into a world in which books can only be accessed, never owned. Given we just passed the 2-year anniversary of an event that on foreseeing unfolding coverage, I yelled, I bleep knew they'd do something but this. Back in October, Popular Information reported Amazon has begun contributing to 9 lawmakers who voted against certifying 2020 electoral votes after doing what we can now call the corporate equivalent of virtue signaling after the January 6, 2021 insurrection. The battle over AI art is starting to really simmer, as the United States Copyright Office recently initiated proceedings to revoke a copyright given to Chris Costanova's comic Zarya of the Dawn, saying that copyrighted works must be human-created to gain protection. USCO had denied protection to prior applications, including Stephen Thaler's AI-generated painting A Recent Entrance to Paradise, leading to a lawsuit. Meanwhile, the Twitter account Reddit Lies reported that r/art has begun banning artists whose work is too similar to AI-generated art, the first case being a piece by Ben Moran, which, as many half-joked, can't be AI because the hands are drawn right. r/art then went private and also began harassing the mods of a new counter-subreddit r/trueart. Been lied to by a trailer? You may be entitled to compensation. Well, not yet, though Variety reports U.S. District Judge Stephen Wilson ruled in favor of 2 and a DeArmas fan's lawsuit against the 2019 Beatle-themed movie Yesterday, alleging they only rented the movie because Armas was in the trailer, but found her scenes had been cut out. Universal's argument that trailers fall under First Amendment protection was rejected, Wilson ruling their commercial speech is subject to California's false advertising and unfair competition laws. Now that I think about it, I was always peeved that Cracker's teen angst wasn't actually played in Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie. Before heading into the latest rundown of the maybe now just smoldering fire that is Warner's Discovery, one of the biggest losses from the previous regime's all-in on same-day theatrical VOD release has been settled. The Hollywood Reporter broke that production powerhouse Legendary Pictures, who have cut most ties to Warner's following the debacle, has signed a new distribution deal with Sony Pictures. This doesn't affect Doom Part 2 or the MonsterVerse franchises. So, what's been delisted from HBO Max in the last month or two? Recently canceled Westworld. Side note, THR reported they were offered a ridiculously cheap and shortened 5th season. The first half of the first season of Joss Whedon's The Nevers, leaving the already filmed second half in limbo. The 4th through 6th seasons of The Flintstones. And maybe most galling, half of the Looney Tunes library. Yeah, not all of Disney Tunes are up on Disney Plus, but still. However, the aforementioned THR piece said a number of the delisted shows will be licensed to FAST, free ad-supported streaming TV, services that were previously referred to as AVOD, like Roku and Pluto. Alright, let's get on with our first set today. To mark the premiere of The Mayfair Witches, the second installment in the Anne Rice television universe, on AMC this last Sunday, here's Switchblade Symphony's Witches. That was Burning a Sinner by Witchfinder General, preceded by Witches from Switchblade Symphony. Now let's get into the one good thing, fingers crossed, to come out of the Warner's Discovery mess. The James Gunn, Peter Safran revamp, reset, straight up reboot of the now correctly named DCU. Or rather catch up, because even with the reveal of their initial plans still weeks away, there's so much to digest even Matter Eater Lad would launch. The biggest change so far came through Gunn's Twitter as he announced the big blue boy scout himself is getting a soft reboot. Henry Cavill is out, at least as Superman. Gunn said they're discussing a possible return for him as a different character down the road. Gunn is writing a script for a movie that'll focus on a younger Superman a few years into his careers, already working at the Daily Planet with Lois, Jimmy, etc., and having met most of the other Capes already. A few days later, it was revealed by THR that Cavill and Gadot's cameos in The Flash have also been cut. Speaking of the Themyscrian ambassador, director Patty Jenkins took to Twitter to debunk recent reports of creative discord leading to her exit from the franchise. She says she didn't walk away as reported and was open to changing her plans for her third film, but ultimately the major changes at DC led to a parting of the ways. She also clarified the status of her Star Wars Rogue Squadron spinoff, saying she was planning to drop out to focus on Wonder Woman, but Lucasfilm signed a new deal with her, and while she says nothing is definite, it looks like the Phantom Menace may just have to deal with it. Regarding Gadot's status, Magic 8-Ball says answer unclear, ask again later, as Gunn only responded to someone saying they were sorry to see Cavill and Gadot booted, that he doesn't know where they got the idea she's been booted. Whether this means she's still in or has left of her own accord will hopefully be answered when the plan is revealed. Gunn was more precise when debunking a Variety report that Wonder Woman doesn't factor into the initial slate, saying it's simply untrue, and also reiterated they have an 8-to-10-year plan, not only a 3-year interconnected vision, as the trade claims. Rounding out the Trinity, on top of debunking rumors that the Reeves-Pattinson Batverse would be integrated, Gunn said the Dark Knight Detective will play a major role nonetheless, meaning Zaslav's complaint about having 4 Batmen running around was just that meant there was 2 too many. There's also been a rumor to his revamped Suicide Squad lineup and their actors, Margot Robbie, Harley, Viola Davis, Waller, John Cena, Peacemaker, and so forth, will be retained. Gunn tweeted on Friday he's writing a yet-to-be-announced DC TV show and proclaimed fake regarding a comic book resources report that the Green Lantern series has been canceled. Like my former go-to for comic news hasn't gotten bad enough by continuing to employ writers who only write negative articles. Show me on the doll where What If touched you, Mr. Maltadine. And people too lazy to spend a minute Googling what genre Smokey and the Bandit is before calling it a Western. Now they're getting into false gossip clickbait. And no, I don't expect younger millennials or Zoomers to know what Smokey and the Bandit even is, but I do expect anyone writing professionally to actually do just a minute or two of research. And now on to the remnants of the Snyderverse, along with a note of my own regret. A lot of times I skip news items because I can't find an angle, for lack of a better word, in writing them. Trying to fix that, I regret not reporting more on Ray Cyborg Fisher's battle with WB over Whedon's toxicity, and what sounded to me, but I wasn't there, Geoff Johns accidentally racist fanboy white-splaining why Superman can't be black. By the way, Ta-Nehisi Coates' Black Superman project is, from all reports, still in active development. So all support to Mr. Fisher on that. But yeah, while Gunn's initial defense of Whedon may not have been a good look, going after Gunn as displaying false grace by apologizing and deleting it kind of gets into my bug about know what you're talking about or complaining about before you do that. Because as many responders, and finally Gunn himself pointed out on Twitter, surprisingly, that Twitter has an optional auto-delete function that Mr. Gunn wisely put on after the complete BS but temporary firing from Guardians over past Edgelord tweets he'd already apologized for several times. Look, dude, Ray that is, I'm sorry for what happened, and while I can't understand exactly what you went through as I am a very white guy, I have dealt with extremely toxic co-workers and supervisors in my day jobs, and while I sure as hell won't say get over it, I will say you need to move on, especially once you've been vindicated by seeing at least one of those people canceled, and picking new fights over old wounds is never a good look or good for the mind. Getting us to the bottom of the hour is the techno mix of Hot Butter's classic Airworm Popcorn. Forgotten Geek on WGXC continues. That was the Scenester Synthwave remix of Hathaway's What Is Love. Sorry for any injuries by the instinctual imitation of the Butabi brothers that might have caused. And the set began with the techno mix of Popcorn by Hot Butter. Maya Lopez's continuing journey is coming a bit later than originally expected. As though Hawkeye spinoff Echo was originally marked a summer release on the Phase 5 chart, showrunner Marion Dare said on podcast The Writer's Panel it'll probably land around December. Cosmic Circus had reported there might be a delay due to logistical issues. The WandaVision spinoff Agatha, Coven of Chaos, was penciled in as winter 2023-2024, but as casting is still being announced, including returning neighbor Deborah Jo Rupp, that'll probably be the latter year. Means the rest of the schedule is likely Secret Invasion and What If Season 2 within the next couple of months, Loki Season 2 in summer, and Ironheart this fall. Hitting bookshelves this fall will be the official handbook of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, rather that's what it should be named, but Penguin Random House announced Marvel Studios' The Marvel Cinematic Universe, an official timeline, will come out in September and clock in at over 300 pages. Now it's time for the professionals to take advantage of the 100-acre woods being open for everyone to use. THR reports DreamWorks alumni Mike DeSev and John Reynolds will direct and write a prequel film for A.A. Milne's classic Winnie the Pooh through the former's animation studio Baboon. Described as taking cue from the acclaimed Patty Game reboot, the film will lead into an ongoing TV series. Tokyo's getting turned upside down, as what's on Netflix claims anime Stranger Things Tokyo is in the works. Their synopsis says it'll involve video gamer twin brothers in 80s Tokyo having their own encounter with Vecna's playground. Though viewer Anon on Twitter claims a third Last of Us game installment is in development, it'll have to wait for its own adaptation. In a THR interview, game creator Neil Druckmann and TV co-creator Craig Mazin said that while the 9-episode first season will expand on some points, it will end up adapting the first game in its entirety, and hint a possible season 2 would do the same for the controversial second installment. Don't cry for the former Superman and Geralt, because Henry Cavill is fulfilling his dream of bringing to life the grim, dark, far future where there is only war. Broken by the hot mic and confirmed by THR, Amazon is closing negotiations for a Warhammer 40,000 series to star and be produced by Mega Fan Cavill. Jon Snow does know something after all, or rather his betrayer, as while at a Game of Thrones convention, Kit Harington gave a little more info on where his developing sequel series finds the Bastard of Winterfell. After describing all Jon had suffered, summed up as, quote, "he's not okay. I'm still a little eh about doing a sequel show so soon, and not because of, well, Jon wasn't the only one okay after that. Just feel there's so much in the lore to explore. But sounds like he's at least got a good handle on what the new character arc should be, and beyond that I hope the plot will take the former king in the north beyond Westeros, and not just to face bigger jaws. Drogon's still flying around out there, hopefully after giving Mommy Dany a proper resting place. And who knows how her empire is holding up under Dario's rule. That said, totally up for the Westerosi equivalent of a prison visit with Queen Sansa talking to him through that crack in the wall. Those Warner Brothers Discovery cuts are as sharp as the swords making up the Iron Throne, as on his blog, George R. R. Martin said that while several of the proposed successors beyond House of the Dragon are proceeding, some have been shelved, but doesn't believe they're dead, pointing out you can take something off the shelf too. He also confirmed the long-in-development Wildcard series is still on the table, and will largely be based around Fort Freak, the 21st installment in the long-running anthology novel series about a world populated by superhuman aces and deformed jokers resulting from alien virus released after World War II. And yes, he's still working on Winds of Winter. The next set is here with Yazoo's Unmarked. After Unmarked by Yazoo, we learn one of our submarines is missing from Thomas Dolby. The final set today celebrates the coming Sunday premiere on HBO of the long-awaited adaptation of The Last of Us. Here's last installment MVP's La Orchestra Cinematique with their version of the trailer version of Take On Me.
Thank you.
Final set began with a little Orchestra Cinematique's cover of the Last of Us trailer version of A-ha's Take on Me, followed by Abba Forsen featuring Aria's cover of New Year's Day. Thanks for listening. I'll be back in 2 Tuesdays with One Hitters 1973. Stay safe as we go out with Colors by Sisters of Mercy.